Alfred Hitchcock used to say. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, and this is Travel Itch Radio, the show that lets you enjoy the pleasures of travel without any of the problems, all from the comfort of your easy chair. This is our 10th season and 396th episode.
At Travel Itch Radio, we cover all the bases. We talk to hotel people, destinations, airlines, authors, writers, entrepreneurs, and tour operators, everyone connected to the world of travel, and not only in the USA, but around the world.
And tonight, our special guest is my longtime friend and colleague, Meryl Pearlstein, a travel journalist and New York City resident who will tell us where to go in the city that never sleeps. Welcome, Meryl, to Travel Itch Radio.
Thank you so much, Dan and Mary Ellen. I am so happy to be here.
And since Mary Ellen lives in Manhattan and I live in northern New Jersey, we know New York City pretty well. But we always welcome the chance to learn something new, Meryl. So please tell our listeners what you love most about New York City.
Oh, my goodness. The energy. I can just stop right there. I'll tell you more details as we go through this evening. But I love the energy of New York. It doesn't sleep. You said that right. And that's the beauty of this city.
Okay. I'm sure you have a long list of favorite places. So let's start with museums, since we're big fans of history.
And not just history, art. You know, the combination of museums that focus on history and art are fabulous here, and you really have something for everybody's interest. So starting with history, of course, we have the 9/11 Museum, which is really powerful. And I know when I went, I thought I would spend about a half an hour there. 3.5 hours later, I could have still stayed longer. So that's quite important. There's also, for the various ethnicities in the city, we have the Museo del Barrio, which will give you a taste of the Latin history of people in New York. The Museum of the City of New York is a broader look at the city. The Museum of the Native American. You can learn about how the city came to be, the Isle of Manhattan, et cetera. And then switching over to a combination of art and history, you have the New York Historical Society, which right now has a fabulous exhibit on rock and roll. Yeah, and that's part of the fabric of the city as well. And then the traditional art museums that we all know and love, the Metropolitan Museum of Art, the Whitney Museum of American Art, MoMA, the Museum of Modern Art, and so it goes. And then there are all the smaller ones that are even more specialized. Did that whet your curiosity?
Since we're in the middle of winter, do you have a favorite place to hang out and keep warm?
Well, right now I'm all about eating outdoors. You know, you dress for the weather. You know, you dress like you're going après ski, put on lots of layers. And the restaurants, since dining indoors is not happening at the moment, many of the restaurants have gotten very creative with outdoor sheds and bubbles and structures with heaters and chandeliers and all kinds of stuff to keep you cozy. A lot of them give you blankets or be smart and just bring your own. But eating outside is kind of fun, even if it might be snowing. So I think, you know, that's one of the pleasures right now for staying warm, believe it or not, because otherwise you're going to be walking through the parks and whatever, and you're outdoors. And there's really – or go to a museum and you can stay warm for sure.
Oh, the list of things to do is long, from taking a ferry to the Statue of Liberty in Ellis Island to exploring Dumbo, which stands for Down Under the Manhattan Bridge Overpass. When everything opens again after the pandemic, do you like the music scene? Lincoln Center, jazz clubs, Greenwich Village?
I love the music scene, and I honestly miss it so much. You know, that was one of the things that we did all the time here. We went to concerts, whether they were indoors or outdoors, at large venues, small venues, every kind of music possible, from Lincoln Center, Carnegie Hall with, you know, classical concerts, to smaller places for jazz like the Blue Note downtown in the Village, or the Village Vanguard, Jazz at Lincoln Center, Symphony Space. I'm getting myself very nostalgic at the moment. You know, concerts at Madison Square Garden. You know, what people are saying now, that we'll probably have some form of concerts starting again maybe late spring and certainly into the summer, and they'll probably be outdoors. So we have a lot to look forward to, and outdoor concerts in the parks are fabulous.
Oh, yes. We're talking with travel writer Merle Pearlstein about New York City.
And Broadway will still be closed for a while because of the pandemic. Do you know its projected opening date, Merle, and what are some of the shows you saw recently?
Broadway is near and dear to my heart the same way that concerts are. So I'm usually at Broadway. If I'm not in a restaurant or Broadway or a concert five to 7 days a week, I don't know what's happening to me, and my life has changed. The latest forecast for Broadway is reopening sometime in the fall. Pretty sad, you know, considering that everything has been dark since March of last year. And at the time, there were 31 shows that were playing, which is incredible. 31 shows that had to shut down, 8 that were scheduled to open by mid-April of last year that never got to it. So, you know, we have a lot to look forward to, hoping that it will happen by fall. Before everything shut down, I had seen pretty much everything, and I was very fortunate to see one show that actually closed down on their opening night. It didn't make it. The show Six, which is a great import from the UK, that's a musical about Henry VIII and his wives, with a fabulous tagline that was divorced, beheaded, died, divorced, beheaded, survived. You know, how can you lose with a tagline like that? It's great. It's just great. But it didn't happen, and I do hope it comes. It will happen. Yeah. I had seen so many shows before. Come From Away is great. Girl from the North Country had just opened. Mean Girls, sadly, like Beetlejuice now, are not reopening. Hadestown is great. Moulin Rouge, I hope it comes back. It has a huge cast, huge expense. I had tickets to a couple of shows that I was really looking forward to, Jagged Little Pill and the Lehman Trilogy, and you know they both got paused. And there's so many more that were about to happen. So many more. I'll be one of the first.
Of course, being a Jersey boy, I loved Jersey Boys.
Yes, and I've actually seen that 4 times, so I'm with you. Great show.
And there was
a
short live show about the Shirelles also, and I thought that one was great. Really loved it.
Was that the Marvelettes? No.
No, there was a show about the Shirelles a couple years ago.
Okay. I probably saw it.
It might have been called Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow or something like that. It was based after one of their songs.
Okay.
But
all right.
It was their life story.
I will look out for it. I hope it comes back.
The Shirelles and I are both from Passaic, New Jersey, and that's why I love that show so much. Anyway, moving on. The five boroughs. I always thought that the logo for New York City should be 5 boroughs pulling a cart in different directions. So please tell us about the 5 boroughs and how different they are.
They're all very different. I mean, the one that everybody knows the best of, obviously, is Manhattan. You know, all the tourists come here. It has a lot of people living here, but not as many as Brooklyn, which you may not know, but we'll talk about that in a minute. So Manhattan has a bit of everything. You know, it has the restaurants, it has the business, it has the financial area, it has the culture, the shopping, the parks, the museums, the major landmarks that people are familiar with, you know, from the Empire State Building to One Liberty Tower, et cetera. And then you move outward a little bit, and hopefully if you come to New York, you will venture out of Manhattan because there's way more outside. Queens is just a patchwork of ethnicities. You have all different kinds of restaurants that fit with all the neighborhoods, from Colombian to Greek to, oh gosh, you name it. You know, Queens has everything. And of course it has City Field, which I'm sure you love, Dan. So
you get
a couple of museums too, just to throw in for good measure. Then Brooklyn by itself is just huge. You know, if Brooklyn were a city by itself, and once upon a time it was, it would now be the number 4 largest city in the U.S.
Wow.
After New York is number 1, Los Angeles is 2, Chicago is 3, Brooklyn is 4, But they're estimating with the growth that Brooklyn has shown recently, Brooklyn could become the number 3 city in the U.S. Mm-hmm. So it's way larger than Manhattan. It has 1 million more people than Manhattan does. So to define Brooklyn as a borough, it's impossible. I mean, there are just so many different components to it, from its strong Asian community to its Hasidic community and so on. In Brooklyn, you can spend days just exploring Brooklyn as a separate city. The Bronx, you want to go to the Bronx for the zoo, the botanical gardens, and another one of the city's Italian communities, Arthur Avenue, is right there. And,
oh, yeah.
And, of course, Yankee Stadium, right, Dan?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yankee Stadium. Staten Island is sort of the leftover borough that people don't think about unless they take the ferry there and back. It feels entirely different. It's closer aligned with New Jersey. It has a beach. It's a quieter kind of borough. It's very different feel. It has a lot of history to it with historic Richmond Town, and you can learn about the history of New York City that way. A lot of people just don't get there. It's worth exploring.
Since New York has such a great transit system, do you need to own a car to get around, or can you rely on the bus and subways?
Oh, definitely leave your car home, really. you don't want to drive here if you don't have to. And, you know, the good news is that New York has such an extensive public transportation system with its bus and subway network that you really don't need a car. You just need a little bit of knowledge. You know, get yourself the apps for the public transit and buy a Metro card, and you can pretty much go every place. And, you know, especially now, what's happened with the streets, if you bring a car into the city, you're going to have a really tough time parking and even driving, because a lot of the parking spaces that were around before are now taken up by outdoor dining structures.
Oh.
So it's really difficult to drive around. I am a freak. I have a car here, but believe me, I paid dearly to have that. You don't need it. You really don't.
Now, I know New York is also a great travel hub with JFK, LaGuardia, and nearby Newark Liberty. They're 3 of the biggest airports in the country. Plus, we have Amtrak coming into Penn Station. The Daniel Moynihan Travel Hall at Penn Station just opened on January 1st. Have you been there, and what kind of impact do you think it will make?
I was there on January 1st.
Where
it
you?
Is beautiful. We did the same thing when the Q train opened on New Year's a couple of years ago. We were there too. We rode the train the first day. So we went to the station on New Year's Day. So I have some beautiful photos of it, very, very empty. If you go on my Instagram, you'll see one of them. It's a beautiful station. It looks very reminiscent of the ones you see in Europe. You know, a lot of glass, huge spaces, empty spaces. It's beautiful. It has nice waiting rooms. And come the fall, when their food court is opened and the bars are open and hopefully the pandemic is over and everybody can enjoy them easily and comfortably, it'll be a really nice place to hang out, actually. So coming in, taking a train here, transferring if you need to go from Metro North to Amtrak or whatever or the subway, it'll actually be pleasant, whereas the current Penn Station is not the best. And I'll be nice about that. It's not the best.
Now, you mentioned the food halls opening in the fall. Are there likely to be opening soon some other restaurants in the city? Any other night spots? Your recommendations?
Yeah. You know, what's interesting to me is there was a comment at some point that, hey, New York is a ghost town, you know, whatever. So not true. And I think what I'm seeing more and more is, as a restaurant goes out, other people come in because they see the value. They're getting deals. They're getting bargains. So there are people who maybe could not have afforded, you know, the rent, the space before, are now seizing the opportunities. So the answer is yes. And right now you're seeing things happening from ghost kitchens that are popping up to some of the food halls and restaurants, you know, pivoting to becoming delivery only or outdoor only because you can't do indoor dining. So there certainly are lots to look forward to. There have been a lot of food courts like the Time Out one in Dumbo, which is really beautiful, or Little Spain under the High Line is fantastic.
Oh.
You know, and all of these have just been changed. So they'll come back in a different way. And the same with the restaurants. Some restaurants have just closed down for the moment because they just can't do delivery. It's not what they're about. So they're on pause. They'll come back. Some won't, obviously. Some are just, we can't make it anymore. We can't. And sadly, that's the case. And I really feel badly for the workers who have been unemployed because of all this. And it's just sad. But the energy is here. This is a city of resilience. So there will be lots to look forward to in the dining world.
We're talking with travel writer Meryl Perlstein about New York City. Meryl, New York sports fans have to be thrilled that the Mets have a new owner, Steve Cohen, reputed to be the richest man in baseball. Are you a sports fan, and do you go to any of the games?
I'm laughing, Dan, because you know I am.
Yeah.
but maybe not in the way that you like. I'm originally from Boston, so my loyalties are very, very much linked to my teams from Boston, even though I live in New York. So I do go to all the stadiums, but I do probably root for the wrong team. And I certainly go to Yankee Stadium as much as I can. And then I'll go to Citi Field when my team, the Red Sox, are playing there. And then I am a football fan, and I am a basketball and a hockey fan for my team, so I go everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if it makes you feel better, I'm a Braves fan, and Mary Ellen is a Cubs fan.
Okay.
So none of us root for New York teams.
I feel better now. I never will root for a New York team. I just can't. It's not in my DNA.
Me too. Speaking of sports, Madison Square Garden is still a major event center for everything from Billy Joel concerts to New York Rangers hockey. It's easy to get to since it shares the same space as Penn Station. Do you go to the Garden?
All the time when I could. At the time, I mean, I'm a big concert fan, so I've seen everybody there from Adele to AC/DC, Lady Gaga, the Eagles, Bon Jovi, Cream, you name it, Madonna. Anytime there's a major concert, I'm there. I'm definitely there. And then, of course, for the sports there, I love basketball there. I love hockey there. And I've seen some pretty good comedy shows. You know, the major comics come and fill the big garden, although there's also the smaller arena in the back. And I'm not quite sure what they're going to do with the arena, whether they'll continue to have shows there or not. But I saw Jerry Seinfeld there, and he was fabulous.
Wow.
Yeah, I did too, and Billy Joel. And a whole bunch of other things. But I want to tell our listeners, you're listening to Travel With Radio with Dan Schlossberg and Mariella Nugent-Lee. Listen live on iTunes or blogtalkradio.com or catch the archive show on our Facebook page. Mariella.
So, Merle, tell us about some of your favorite landmarks. You mentioned them, some like the Brooklyn Bridge, the Empire State Building, Times Square.
Yeah, all of those. I mean, absolutely all of those. I love the ones that allow you to get the views of the city. So you just name them, you know, Brooklyn Bridge, Empire State Building. I would add to that top of the Rock. You know, you get another view. You actually get to look upon the Empire State Building from that vantage point. It's fabulous. And then, of course, any place that you can see the Statue of Liberty from, you know, that is just an important landmark. Whether you see it from Manhattan, from the Battery Park area, or from across the way in Brooklyn, from Brooklyn Heights, you know, those are great. And then, of course, for the kitschiness and craziness of it, you've got to go to Times Square. You just have to.
We're talking with travel writer Merle Perlstein about New York City. Now, Merle, when the weather is agreeable, do you walk the High Line? Isn't that an old railroad trestle converted into a pedestrian walkway lined with flowers and shrubs?
Yeah, it's one of the most successful transformations of an outdoor area, you know, whether it's a railroad track or whatever, that's ever been done in the U.S. And it's pretty remarkable. I don't think they ever foresaw how it would transform the neighborhoods surrounding it. But it's one long pedestrian walk. And now with all kinds of art installations on it that are really creative, super creative, and they change all the time. And as the popularity has grown, they've expanded it further and further north and north. And now they're talking about two new expansions, one to connect to the Daniel Patrick Moynihan train hall, which would really be nice, and then another one that will cross over the West Side Highway to another area that's soon to be developed called Pier 76. I love walking on it. It's just, it's unusual. It's fun. Now they're doing it very, very responsibly with social distancing. It's great.
So you can still do it.
Meryl,
yes.
I operate under the philosophy, if it's free, it's for me. So tell us about the many free things to do in the city, such as some of the museums.
Oh, yeah. There are lots of free stuff to do here. The museums all have different rules. Some of them are free. Some of them you pay what you want, so you can pay nothing if you don't feel like it. Some of them have specific free days. Some have First Fridays free. So there are lots of options to get into the museums free. You just need to check out each museum's website because they all have different rules and regulations. And some, you know, prepare for lines on free nights. If they're free nights, people will line up to get into, like, the Neue Galleria always has a long line. I think it's on Monday nights. Of course, the parks. You just want to go to the parks. Just walk the parks. There's so much to see in the parks, whether it's gardens, whether it's statues, whether it's just watching people play ball or just walk around. You know, that's one of the best free things in the city. You know, it's the lungs of the city. It's where everybody goes because nobody has a backyard, so everybody is there. And then, of course, if you walk across the Brooklyn Bridge, you're going to get the best views of Brooklyn in one direction, go all the way to the end, turn around, and then look back at Manhattan, walk back. And that's amazing. And similarly, for free views of the city, especially the Statue of Liberty, take the Staten Island Ferry. You don't even have to get off. Just go from Manhattan to Staten Island. You'll get a great cruise, you know, around the harbor, and you'll turn around, and it's all free. It's completely free. I don't know if you knew that. And then, you know, for shopping, you can't beat window shopping here. You may not be able to afford what's inside, but window shopping is fun.
Well, I love animals as much as I love baseball. And since you mentioned parks, the Central Park Zoo and the Bronx Zoo, your thoughts on those two great zoos?
Oh, I love them. I was actually just at the Bronx Zoo the other night, but not for animals. It was for the lights. They had a big Christmas light thing that they do every year. So they're very creative there. So the Bronx Zoo is fantastic. I mean, it's one of the best in the country. The animals are in free settings. They're not in cages. So you really get, it's humanely done. It's wonderful, absolutely wonderful. Central Park Zoo is different. It's smaller. It's adorable. You know, it's very intimate. It has a polar area with some really great animals like snow monkeys that you go all the way to Japan for, to Tohoku, and you may never see. And there they are. They're right in front of you. They're penguins, sea lions. They usually have feedings, but now during the pandemic, you can't see the sea lion or the penguin feeding, but those are usually fun. They even have insects, which is unusual. They have ants displays. Where else would you see that but in Central Park? And then, of course, next to it is the Children's Zoo, which is just wonderful for kids.
Okay, just about 5 minutes to go. New York is the center of the communications world with all the major networks headquartered here. Have you ever been part of the early morning crowd outside the Today Show at Rockefeller Center?
I only did it once, and I don't need to do it again. It's sort of like going to Times Square for New Year's Eve. It's fine. Do it once if you have to.
Well, Radio City is near Rockefeller Center, and like the Empire State Building, it's an Art Deco structure built in the 30s but still thriving today. Do you recommend prospective visitors buy Christmas show tickets well in advance?
Yes, absolutely. Mm. That's one of my favorite things to do every year. And I really do recommend getting seats as close as you can afford to the stage, because to see the precision dancing of the Rockettes is amazing. And if you're too far back, you can always get tickets, but you want to have good tickets for it. Yes, so definitely.
We're talking with travel writer Merle Perlstein about New York City.
Merle, there always seems to be something special going on in the city with parades of all kinds down Fifth Avenue and elsewhere. The Thanksgiving Day parade may be the most popular, but there's also St. Patrick's Day, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, and more. Are you a big fan of parade watching?
I love it. I mean, it really shows the patchwork of New York City when you see these parades. They're spirited. You see the costumes. You get the food. And there's so many different groups represented, from the Puerto Rican Day Parade, the Dominican Parade, the Greek Parade, St. Patrick's Day, Israel Independence Day. I can go on and on. I love it.
And speaking of celebrities, And speaking of watching, isn't the city a great place to spot celebrities, even though the 21 Club has closed its doors?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, the celebrities live here. They're all over the place. And you can just go, you might be strolling a neighborhood and just see somebody, you know, out walking or maybe jogging. Places, they're just like us. They're at sports events. A great place where I used to spot people all the time was at theater, because they're out there supporting their friends who are on stage. Unfortunately, that's not happening right now. So you might see them outside instead. You don't have to go to the 21 Club. No.
And speaking about theater, sometimes the stars come out before the show and work the crowd. I remember seeing Jackie Mason do that and several others. Roberta Peters did that. It's really great. And by the way, I'm a huge Seinfeld fan and have seen every episode about 10 times. Is there any better publicity for New York City?
Oh, it's pretty awesome. I mean, of late, we've had other shows that have really been a true tribute to New York, making New York look fabulous. If you saw the current series, The Undoing, I mean, that it was totally scary, but it was a really nice postcard about the Upper East Side with Nicole Kidman. And obviously, the marvelous Mrs. Maisel is just fabulous. And you can tour the locations. On Location does a tour of the locations where they shot all over the city, and it's really great.
So what's new in New York, Merle? What can visitors do now to give them kind of the sense of New York and that energy with so many things that are being closed?
I would take advantage of the creativity that the restaurants are espousing. I've never seen anything like this before. You know, dining in igloos, dining in outdoor glass greenhouses, in sheds and huts, all kinds of stuff. And somehow they're doing what they always do, but even better in some ways. And I would really avail yourself of as much of that as you can. There's even a New York Restaurant Week to Go begins on the 25th, and that's great. And they've knocked down the prices from what they used to be. Like a dinner, the prefix dinner used to be $42. This year it's $20.21. Go for it. Sit outside and eat, or order in, or do whatever. You know, just enjoy, because that's what's new and different right now.
Now, our listeners always like to know about our guests. So can you tell us a little bit about where you were born, raised, and schooled before we go off the air?
Sure. As I alluded to before, I'm not a native New Yorker. I was born in Boston. No. I may not have the accent, but I was born in Boston, north of Boston in a little town called Swampscott. And I moved to New York. Well, first I went to college in Rhode Island. I went to Brown University to study foreign languages. Then I went to grad school at Wharton in Philadelphia, so I got a taste of city life, and I liked it. I also studied communications there at Annenberg, so I got my writing chops a little wet there. And then I came to the city. I was very good friends with somebody who was
Merle, I'm sorry, I'm running out of time. Our guest tonight has been New York-based travel journalist Merle Perlstein. Thank you for joining us on Travel Itch Radio.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted I could be here.
And that's it for this edition of Travel Itch Radio. Next week, same time, same station, same writer, same announcers, our guest will be San Francisco-based travel journalist Nick Contis. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg, along with co-host Mary Ellen Nugent-Lee, saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, good night and stay safe.